So again, my name is Reverend Tamara, and today we're going to be talking about the paradox of both being curious and vulnerable. And a lot of the information I got today was from Science Mind, but also Brené Brown's Atlas of the Heart. Who knew? There was like over 58 different emotions. I always just think mad, glad, sad, or happy. And luckily, my brain works in such a way that this is my notes for my talk. So hopefully that all makes sense as we go through. But the thing is, with being in our society, there's a lot of times that we're taught that it's more important to be right than being curious. When we're talking with a friend, I know I can say in my own life sometimes, I think the biggest challenge I have in communication with my dear husband, who I throw under the bus all the time, is that wanting to be right. I say, let's turn left. And he goes, no, let's turn right. And it's over the silly things that we both dig our heels in and go, yeah, I want to be right about this. But at the end of the day, do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? I know which one I want to choose. So I'm working on it. It's a work in progress all the time. But we're also taught that we should only show the best parts of ourselves out in the world. Nowadays, I feel, I don't know if it's like, it's exciting for the children that are growing up in this time that they have access to so many different things. And yet, it's kind of scary too. Because social media, you always have to put your face forward, right? That smile, that look at my life, it's so perfect. When really, it may not be. And so that makes it a little bit harder for us. That, you know, we give them the highlight reel rather than behind the scenes. Sometimes there's a little bit of a mess that exists. But playing with paradoxes, it gives us that chance to stay open to many perspectives. And to know, and that to be vulnerable and uncertain. So approaching the unanswerable questions of the universe with playfulness. Wasn't that a lovely meditation? I really took myself back to that. I even pictured my little daughter, I don't know if anybody else had the MEC, the Mountain Equipment Co-op. They had these full rain suits. And she had the little purple one, and she'd get her boots on and stomp out there. It really brought a smile to my face, that lovely meditation. I digress. But when we play with that playfulness, it provides us a unique opportunity to simply be without needing to be right or even to know what is right. You know, when we open ourselves to that paradox mindset, we're able to play with curiosity, play with vulnerability. So it made me think of a couple of things about being vulnerable and uncertain. And it's about staying open, having that open-heartedness, and remaining curious and neutral is a very, very vulnerable space to be in because it's the commitment to staying uncertain. And the challenge of vulnerability is that it holds within it a paradox. So in Atlas of the Heart, Brené Brown says, vulnerability is the first thing we look for in other people. And it is the last thing we want to show them about ourselves. We immediately look for and are drawn to people who are open, they're vulnerable, and willing to show the deepest, messiest parts of themselves to us. Yet we struggle to show those parts to others, feeling that they somehow represent a failure or on our part. So, but it's releasing that judgment that we have of ourselves sometimes. I don't know how many of you, in a program room, the program leader used to say, you know, she had this big 2x4 that she would constantly beat herself with. But it's putting that two by four down and allowing us just to be who we are. Because I know I can be the hardest person on myself. And most people don't even know that, you know, that maybe I took a misstep. They're like, oh, this is just the way it is. But yet I'm sitting there stewing in it for hours maybe keeping me up at night, and when it really nobody else knew but me. So where is that surrender? Where is that letting go of those things? And you know, I was thinking about too, as a child, talking about playfulness, how we're taught maybe it's not so good always to be curious. I mean, we've all heard that saying, curiosity killed the cat.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no thank you. Luckily that cat has 9 lives, so you can be curious 9 times. But, you know, we're trained to be certain. But where the joy and the flux of life is in that uncertainty. When we can step into that uncertainty and be okay with that, and being curious about what I think I know all the time too, is like, is that really true or isn't it true? Asking myself those questions. Now, anybody here, are you more comfortable with people who are willing to say, I don't know, let's find out? Or are you more comfortable with that, this is the way it is and this is how we're gonna do it kind of people? I know that gets my back up. I immediately go on the defensive and I'm like, oh no, that's not how we're gonna do it. I just have a little bit of autonomy running in my life. But anyways, it's good. So Voltaire said, uncertainty is an uncomfortable position. Uncertainty is an absurd one. Certainty is an uncomfortable position. Uncertainty is an absurd one. I found that really fascinating, and especially we're talking about paradoxes today. So those people who can admit that they don't know it all are uncertain, because that's when life will show up in new ways. It's yet we stay certain in our beliefs, then our life stays the same. When we get stuck in that rigidity of how we think things should be, that wonderful should word, right? So I think it leads to, Ernest Holmes talks a lot about, in The Science of Mind, expectancy rather than expectation. So I'm gonna lead in, because I wanna be in a place of curiosity. When we let go of our attachment to one way or another and open up to a place of recognizing the benefits and possibilities of the both and, we can then approach challenges, obstacles, and problems with a sense of curiosity. So when we're holding that paradox mindset, is the key to curiosity is allowing ourselves to step into a place of, okay, this took me a minute to get around, a place of high investment but low attachment. Right? A high investment in the relationship, in the friendship, in the place that I am, but that low attachment to the outcome. To me, that's that expectation and expectancy. So we want to be wholly passionate and invested in the solution with that low attachment to what the solution may look like. Holding this middle way can be challenging, because our inclination to choose a side or an option and then move quickly in that direction. You know, it's like when we set a goal, what are we gonna do? Okay, well, I need to get A, B, C, D, and if I'm not at A, B, C, D by Tuesday, then I failed. When in reality, it's just taking that next step. It's just that first step. It's that next step. It's the next step. It's the continuation of doing the baby things. So staying open and curious keeps us into the potentiality. The thing too about expectations, sometimes it takes the range of all possibility. I narrow it down to that one thing, and that's what I think it is. I always think of my relationship with my stepfather, how I always wanted the relation to look like, what was the show, you know, we had the wonderful dad, Father Knows Best, or Leave It to Beaver, one of those. Like, I figured that's how my life should look, because that's how it was on TV, so come on. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm dating myself for people younger in the crowd. But it's that expectations of how I thought our relationship should look. when in reality, it showed up in a whole different way. But then do I discount that relationship because it's not exactly the way I think it should be? Or do I start to embrace it and go, you know what, this is what it is. This is how he shows up. This is how I show up. So how do I make that work? How do I invest in that outcome of a better relationship with him when I know whatever happens, happens? So I think that is when we turn to prayer. Well, when we, I know for myself, I'll just speak. I won't use the proverbial we, I'll use the I. That's when I turn to prayer, because sometimes I need help. I turn to a practitioner, I do my own prayer work, I call my mentor. And using prayer is always a great thing. But it's interesting, sometimes though, we can use those expectations in prayer and we can outline what we want. I want it to look like this. I want a relationship. I want $10,000 in the bank. I want that red sports car. I want peace on earth. I want every child to be fed. And those are all great things. But yet we have, again, we're putting that expectation on how it's going to look. So it was really interesting. I was talking to another minister about our talk this Sunday. We sometimes go back and forth. And so we were talking about abundance. And so we're talking about sometimes in prayer when, you know, because we talk about certainty and uncertainty. So going into that uncertainty of how the prayer is going to turn out. I have the certainty in the process. I know exactly the steps I'm supposed to do. I know that it works. That's a T, what is it? T-S-R-W, but I won't say what that really means. This stuff really works. But and knowing those steps, so I can have faith and know and be certain in the process, but it's letting go of that next step of the outcome and seeing where it is. So, but it was, so we were talking about abundance and these, you know, when we, and, or you could put it in the process and product. That's another way to put it, right? So we're invested in that product, the outcome. So say it's abundance. We only want, say we think we're going to be abundant if we have $10,000 in the bank. But then we discount the times that a friend buys us lunch, or somebody calls us out of the blue and makes us smile, or we get to listen to a wonderful meditation that we get to play in the puddles again. So it was really interesting because I thought, oh, okay, that's a great concept. That's such a good example of that. So that day, my husband and I decided to go for sushi, and this gentleman came rushing in front of us and kind of cut in front of us, but we weren't in a hurry, so we didn't care. And he ended up getting a big booth for himself, and we sat at the little squish table. Oh, well, you know, we're having fun. We're chatting away. And see, he does nice things, too. He takes me for lunch. And then, you know, so we went to pay, and the waitress, the lady serving us comes up and says, no, you don't have to, that your bill's been taken care of. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, the gentleman back there, he just paid for both of your lunches. Okay, so that morning, I had this conversation. Coincidence? Or did I put something in the motion in the law that showed up? Another really good example of the product being the end result and the prayer, the process, is a lady was at an Asilomar type setting, went around, she was looking for a new relationship. So she asked all the practitioners to pray for this relationship, and she wanted it to be devoted. She wanted it to be loving unconditionally. She wanted companionship. So she listed all these things she wanted. So she outlined what she wanted. So then, you know, so that every, she had about 10 practitioners praying for her. It was great. And then she gets home. So she's all excited, just waiting for this person to come into her life. What came into her life? A dog.
But the dog met all those qualifications, all those things that she wanted. So, which is always good. What else? So it's, and when we're stepping into relationship, and I know we're just talking about prayer, and but it's also that willingness to be wrong sometimes. Is it that willingness to say, I don't know, I'm not sure. Because how often, and Kelly, we've heard this said before, how often do we wake up in the morning and say, oh, I think I'm going to be wrong today? And we don't, right? We get out of bed, we want to be right about that the sun is shining and this is going to happen. Because it's risky to be wrong. And, you know, Brené Brown talks beautifully about it in her book around curiosity, even, is about that we brighten ourselves up sometimes. We want to kind of, she says, spit and polish our story, and we can make justifications for everything that we do. Like, it's so easy. Oh, I'd like that new dress. It'll be fine. I can buy that because blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, that's not necessarily the truth. Did I look at my bank account? Did I do the things that if I want an abundance or something like that, some life. So maybe that wasn't a good example, but you get the point, is that sometimes we do these things and we can justify it. So it's when we're willing to challenge our beliefs and change those ideas and not judge ourselves, not judge others, and be open, opening ourselves up to the paradox. Being willing to play in the vulnerability and with curiosity and uncertainty. And it can be that challenge to remain in that space of questioning that comes with life, because we believe that there is endless possibilities. As if we are one with that divine mind, with that one thing, that divine wisdom, how can there be limits on what we do or what we say or how life shows up? But is what are we willing to embrace? What am I willing to embrace? Because sometimes I know I put the stop sign out there. Nope, 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 not today. I'm going to be stuck in my ways and do the thing, right? But when I open up my heart and I change my beliefs and I change my mind and I believe more in faith, and I have that faith in that process that I know I'm doing the right thing, I'm doing the prayer, I'm doing the meditation, I am walking the path. And that's what we're here together doing. We're walking this path. And it's a chance for us to practice together. I had a great meeting on Thursday, I think, with two of our congregants here, and talking about how can we walk the path together in groups or smaller ways, or get more people to know about what we do here. You know, and that is the thing, that is joining together. We just had a great class with Reverend Terry the other night with 9 of us coming together and doing spiritual practice together. So amazing. It's walking those paths together using the tools that we have. Science of Mind is a faith, a philosophy, a way of life, and we offer those practical tools. So you may say, Reverend Tamara, what are those tools? I came up with 3 today. So I was thinking about our prayer, okay? Not being attached to our product, not outlining what we want God to do, but lean into the expectancy. 2, we can use the work by Byron Katie called The Work. And that's where you ask yourself, is it true? Is it really true? And there's 2 other questions that go with it. But it's that changing that mind and checking in. Because sometimes we'll say, yeah, that's true. He should have turned right instead of left. And then go, well, is that really true? Well, no, actually, he saved us 2 minutes. Or, and then what if I believed that it wasn't true? If I turned it and looked at it the other way? So that's the piece with Byron Katie's work. She gets you to question. And that's so if we can, that helps us also stay in that curiosity, right? So if we're asking the question, it's living in the question. And another one is a great way to practice contemplation and paradoxes are, has anybody heard of Zen koans? Yeah, a few. So You know, if two hands clap and there's a sound, what is the sound of one hand clapping? I cheated and went like this. And my mentor said, no, that doesn't work that way. And then the other one is, if you meet Buddha, kill him. That's an interesting paradox and Zen koan, right? It's these puzzles. It's these ways that we look at the world. And the other one is, without thinking of good or evil, show me your original face before your mother and father were born. So the koans are about taking us out of what we kind of know and twisting things around and holding these two ideas. One of the great mystics, Pascal, he said, how can we be so wonderful and so wicked at the same time? And I was talking to, again, my friend, the minister, and he was saying, yeah, he said, that word wicked is an interesting. He says, I can attach to that more than I can attach to good and evil. Because sometimes I can be really great and loving and I can be really wonderful. And sometimes I can be the person kicking the other person in the shins, you know, that being that little kid. But yet it's when we can know that we can hold both of them inside and that it's okay. Again, going back to that compassion, that curiosity, why am I showing up that way? What's going on for me? And is this really true? So with this today, what are the conversations maybe you're not willing to have with somebody right now? Just think of that. What is one of those conversations that you've been known that's been on your brain that you would, you know that it's maybe time to do that conversation? Maybe think about a way you can get curious and be vulnerable and have that conversation. That's the homework this week. Well, I gave you lots now, so you're all good. So let's be open. Let's be curious. Let's stay to this place of vulnerability and showing up, right? It doesn't matter the messiness or whatever. The thing is, I know those are the people I love the most are sometimes the most messiest and who are willing to show up in different ways. Because we're all doing the best that we can with the tools we've been given. And here we are each learning to grow and change and be different. So ends the lesson, and so it is.